Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go. Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. Hey. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp.
It's Black Wednesday. You know what I do, Skip Bayless? I show up on your field and beat you in your uniform. This is how I did it today.
You know what they say about imitation?
What they say?
They say it's the sincerest form of flattery. So I am flattered that you are coming over to my side because more and more you're going without a tie.
Hey, guess.
Because the point of this show is you've never even achieved one tie on this show because all you do is lose.
Hey, after the show, you will be even flatter.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm about to steamroll you. Okay. I'm about to steamroll you next year. You know that's, I'm sorry.
That would be a first.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Are we going with the little Miami Vice?
Yeah, little tricky Vice, what they call you, boy.
Why don't you just unbutton another button? No, go ahead.
Autumn got upset. I tried to. She said, this is a family morning show.
It's a family show. Yeah. It's too early for that. Let's keep the button up.
But I like the green jumpsuit.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Both of you look nice. We got a lot to get to on today's show. Well, John Gruden and Antonio Brown work in Oakland. We'll talk about it. And Michael Rappaport is here later. Trust me, he is ready to go off on Baker Mayfield. Yeah. But first, we'll start with news from the Cowboys. Jerry Jones finally signed one of his star players to an extension yesterday. Unfortunately, it wasn't holdout Ezekiel Elliott. Dallas agreed to a 5-year extension with starting linebacker Jalen Smith. That's worth $64 million. It looks like Jerry may have foreshadowed this signing last Tuesday when he told reporters he may get a deal done with a player that he wasn't being asked about. Jerry made sure to point out this deal and others moving forward would be team-focused. Take a listen.
The team takes precedent over, and that is my judgment. The team takes precedent at a point over the opinion or the demand of the individual. The team takes precedent. This was a team move that we are talking about today, a real team move. If given the opportunity to help this team and decrease the pie some more, I'll do it tomorrow and the next day.
Okay, Shannon, what did this signing tell you?
Skip, this signing told me that, as Jerry mentioned last week, and we kind of had an indication of who he was talking about, Skip, I believe this deal has been in the work for a couple of weeks now. Just all of a sudden, just didn't pop up. But, Skip, I believe Jalen Smith was the most eager to get a deal done, so this was the easiest of the deals to get done because he gave them a substantial hometown discount, and he talked about it in his press conference that Jerry was willing to roll the dice, take a chance when there's a chance. He was never going to play a football game again, and Jerry still tied up $4.5 million in him. So he felt that he needed to repay Jerry for his confidence, his belief in him that, you know what, son, you might not play again, but if you do, we want to help you get back because we believe, Skip, he's going to be a top five pick. He was special. And you see what was going on in his head. And this is why you saw a lot of guys started skipping the bowl game. Yep. They're like, man, I'm risking $20, $30 million out here for what? Yeah. For a jersey with a patch on it that says Orange Bowl or Fiesta Bowl? Yep. But for me, Skip, this deal is very team friendly. He had one more year left on his deal. And they gave him an extension. He got good money. He got the security that he wanted. But this deal is really team-friendly, Skip, because he got, what, 34.5 guaranteed. So you prorate a lot of, you probably got 20 million at the time of signing. You prorate that out. But this is how this deal was easy to do because Jalen was eager to do the deal. But the difference between Jalen's deal and these other three, they're not going to be as team-friendly because the going rate is, Dak saw Aaron Rodgers get $79 million at the time of signing. He saw Russell Wilson get $70 million at the time of signing. Mm-hmm. I think Carson Wentz is somewhere around between 64 and 66. He sees this. That's the number. He's looking to get more than Jalen Ramsey total contract at the time of signing. Mm-hmm. Well, Amari Cooper said, well, the going rate, Odell got 41. That was 2 years ago. So that's what I'm looking at right there. Zeke says, hold on, bro. Yo, old Zeke Elliott. Got to eat, Skip. They say, Skip, he say he looking good, too. He was supposed to call me last night, but you know, I had some arrangements I had to take care of, and I missed it. But anyway, as I was
did
saying,
he try to call you?
No, I ain't telling you nothing.
You don't miss that call.
I ain't telling you nothing, Skip. I believe you in suspense. But I just, Skip, where are they getting all this money from? Where are they getting
they got oodles of money.
How they get oodles of money? Oh, you told me all the time, this is not like baseball and you can just spend, you have a cap. Okay, well, how you gonna get, Dak gonna want 70 to 80 million guaranteed at the top at, when he signed. Zeke's gonna probably want somewhere between 35 and 40. Amari's gonna want somewhere between 35 and 55.
Yep, it's
where
there.
Where they get other money?
It's there.
Where is that?
Pie got a little smaller, but just a little smaller.
But Dak said, you know what? I'm glad the pie got smaller. Who want pie? I eat cake, and I want a big old chunk of cake. I don't want pie. I love
it. What are you laughing at?
I love it. Because somebody, Skip, I just tell you this here. Somebody not going to get done this year. I don't know who it is. Amari can be patient because Amari's playing on that fifth-year option, which is about $14 million.
Sure.
Plus, he was a first-round draft pick. He good. Dak said, hold on, bro. This is my first year ever making $1 million plus in salary. I need some cake. And Zeke says, you know, I play the most dangerous position in the NFL, which is running back, and I have the shortest shelf life. I need to eat.
You know, this whole development continues to amuse me because the haters are hating, led by the number one hater across from me, because they think they got the Cowboys backed into a corner.
We do.
They think Jerry is up against the cap. And Jerry showed you once again yesterday, when it comes to money, Jerry's got genius. This was a brilliant first move. I didn't see this one coming. I was shocked. But this was just the first domino, and now the next three bigger dominoes, even bigger ones, will fall. It will be Dak first. It will be Zeke right at the deadline for game one. And it will be Amari during the football season because, as you said, he is cool. He's getting 13.9 this year, and he's just fine. He's back in football heaven after escaping John Gruden hell from last year. So he will wait patiently. Somewhere during the season, he will get his big piece of this new pie because the pie is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, as you know. So the first domino was the most significant domino because Jerry did send a message to the other three even bigger dominoes. Hey, look what just happened here. I just took a team leader because Jalen Smith is highly respected, maybe not Dak respected, but on the defense he is, dare I say, I'm going to say he's the most respected. I know Sean Lee's the veteran, but, but I think Jalen has preempted him as the leader of that defense just because he's a better player and he's healthier, obviously, than Sean is.
Yeah.
And Jerry knows that Jalen paid a big price to get to where he is because he had to work his tail off to get that knee back right to become a potential perennial Pro Bowl linebacker, right?
Yeah.
You saw it last year, all over the field, sideline to sideline. He is sudden. And there's an element of ego going on here because Jerry also wanted to say yesterday, look at me, look at us, look what we did. We took the plunge on this kid when nobody else would. We took him in the second round and we risked $4.5 million on virtually nothing. And look what came out of it for us. And I'm going to pay him back for what he did for us. And yet, what is the message? You hit it. This is shockingly team friendly. I was stunned by it because, again, the base going into next year is a grand total of $835,000. So Jalen was cool, like, give me my long term at the expense of my short term.
Right.
So he didn't push for short term. And the average new money in this deal per year is only $12.75 million. That makes him fifth among linebackers right now. So watch
what, years.
Hey, what, how about in 1 year? Maybe at the end of this football season, you will be sitting over there saying, what was Jalen Smith thinking? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he did get a big chunk of guaranteed, and he got a big chunk up front, but it will be pro-rated.
Right.
So it is ultimately team-friendly, and I think only a small sliver of pie got taken out of the bigger pie.
Right. Because let's just say, for the sake of argument, Skip, he's got $34, $35 million guaranteed. They write him a check for $20 million. Well, you prorate that over the life of the contract, so you got basically 6 years. So he's like 3.5. Mm-hmm. So his cap number next year probably going to be like $4 million, a little over $4 million, which is nothing. That was the thing. And that's what he was willing to do, Skip, because he looked at it like, I've been down this road before where I had an injury and I didn't know if I was going to play again. Let me take this now so if something unforeseen do happen, mm-hmm. I'm protected on the back end. But he gave up a lot of real estate, Skip.
He
boxed himself into a corner. And 2 years from that, Skip, maybe not next year, but 2 years from now, he's going to look back like, what the hell was I thinking?
Okay.
Because if he's, Skip, if he's what you now, he happens to be in the NFC. Now, the two best middle linebackers in the NFL are in the NFC, Keekly and Bobby Wagner.
Okay.
So, but he's coming. He's younger than both of them. And he's going to look back, Skip, and you know this is going to happen. He's going to look back and like, Jerry, I need to see y'all again, bro.
Hmm. Jerry just took somebody to the cleaners.
You like he did.
What do I keep telling you about Jerry Jones? Again, on football decision-making, on GM moves, not the biggest fan, but when it comes to salary cap, when it comes to negotiating, when it comes to the psychological warfare of winning negotiations, this is Jerry's Super Bowl, and he just won the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
This was very Patriots-esque. This is what they do. Huh. They remember they got Gronk on that deal? They're like, look at the money they gave Gronk. And then 2 years, you're like, man, Gronk making peanuts. Like I said, when you get two sides that are motivated, when Jalen Smith is motivated to get a deal done, the Cowboys are motivated to do a deal, you can come together fairly quickly. Now, on the other side, Skip, it seems like Jerry is more motivated than these guys for the simple fact they're not willing to give him the hometown discount because Jalen sat on the field in his last game of college and he didn't know if he was going to play again. Dak, like, I ain't missed a game. Zeke's like, I hadn't missed a game due to injury. And Amari says, I've only missed three games. Yeah. So I don't have the worries that I'm going to be hurt long term that's going to greatly decrease my value of getting a long-term deal that's more individual-friendly as opposed to team-friendly.
That is correct. So, the Jerry Jones I know so well, I can tell you yesterday, he was in a foul and angry mood. Mm. And he was most angry at the shot that Rocky Arsenault, Zeke's agent, took back at him about how disrespectful his comment was. And we will discuss that in just a few minutes.
We will.
But that's what set him off. And he continued to be foul and angry in all of his responses to the media post-announcing the Jalen Smith. Yeah. His son called it a happy moment.
Yeah.
And he said, now we need a happy moment for Dak and a happy moment for Zeke and a happy moment for Amari.
Right.
But Jerry was in full-on bad cop mode yesterday while son Steven was playing good cop. Mm-hmm. Son Steven said only very positive things about, we obviously have a feel for how this is going to play out, and we are very optimistic we will get all three of the other deals done in short order. He just went on and on. He said, we want them to be Cowboys. They want to be Cowboys. We will get them done. He said, obviously, the pie is a little smaller, but Jerry said the pie got a lot smaller. Yeah. And Jerry, you saw what he said. He was angry about the team takes precedent at a point and over the opinion or the demand of the individual.
Yeah.
So he's saying, look what Jalen did.
Yeah,
he sacrificed for the team because he's a team leader. Mm-mm. Now it's up to the bigger pieces of the pie to take a little bit of a Cowboy discount.
But
that's what he's saying.
But this is how I look at it, Skip. Let's just say we're going to have a Halloween party. Mm-hmm. And the costume that I want, it doesn't work for me in my budget.
Mm. Okay.
So guess what? I ain't going. So the individuals
You're
are saying,
going?
No, I'm not going. If I can't be the cop, if I want to be a cop, but the uniform costume, I don't want to be a cop. No, I'll be a fireman.
Let me pick another. Be a fireman.
Yeah,
thank you.
But the uniform costume, I'm not going. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and Amari Cooper said, if I can't get the money, I won't. I'm not doing the deal, Jerry. And you can grit your teeth and be bad cop all you want to.
Okay, but you can take or leave the Halloween party. They cannot take or leave being a Dallas Cowboy
this year.
Yeah, they can. Nope.
And this is what I used to tell guys when they come in, like, I don't know what's going on. I say, you know these other teams pay money too.
Mm.
They got money too. They got money. So don't let Jerry Jones fool you to think he is the only owner in the NFL that pays his players. Mm. Other teams paid their players also, Skip mm-hmm. Bayless. And we're not giving you a hometown discount. That's what he's upset about.
Do the New England Patriots pay their players?
Yeah.
Help me out.
Hold on. Whoa.
I don't know. I know one who got paid, but that's one.
Yeah, exactly.
He plays cornerback.
Well, they paid Richard Seymour, and then they got mad at Seymour, and they ended up shipping him to Oakland.
Okay.
But, Skip, you can't get mad at me if I don't want to give you a discount. Why are you upset? Mm. Why are you upset, Skip? I want my money. Let me ask you a question, Skip. What sponsor does Jerry Jones give a discount to?
True.
None.
That's a good example.
But I
don't know about that. I think there are a lot of hometown businesses who again, would pay more to have more exposure in Dallas.
There's a reason why Jerry does deals outside of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Jerry's going to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
That's why he left StubHub to go to SeatGeek. That's why he left Pepsi to do Coke, or left Coke to do Pepsi. Mm. That's why he does all his independent deals, because he don't believe in cutting deals. Mm. But the very man that won't cut a deal wants you to cut him one. Mm. I wish I might.
Mm.
Dak Prescott, I'm going to be very upset with you if you give him a deal. Zeke Elliott, if you hold out all this time and give him a deal, I'm going to be very disappointed. Mm. And Amari, don't you give him no deals.
Mm.
Now.
You're just rooting against the Cowboys.
I'm not rooting.
You need somebody to hold out for the whole year. You need somebody to say, I'm taking my football and going home.
No, I do not want any player to miss out on money because you'll never get an opportunity to recoup the money that you lost. But I also want players to be compensated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Skip Bayless, if all of that contract was guaranteed that Jerry Jones can't get out of these contracts after a year or two, I got no problem with it. But because he can get out of it, no, I don't like that.
Okay.
I want
that's
all my
not
money.
His fault. That's your fault.
You
accepted the deal to start with.
It's the CBA. Okay. It is the play.
All right.
But see, that's the thing, though. See, Skip, the banks are going to be more forgiving. If Jerry says, you know what, I'm not going to be able to pay this $20 million loan this month. I need an extension. See, the mortgage company is not going to be doing that to players. No, we need that. So the player, it's hard for a player to hold out, because guess what? They're going to get their money from these networks before they even show a game. Mm. But preseason, regular season, Fox and CBS and NBC and ESPN going to take the money. Mm. And then you got a Microsoft that does the tablets. You got Bose. They're getting them checks regardless.
Mm.
See, NFL pulled me. I don't even get paid until I do a game, Jenny.
So Jerry dug in yesterday. Jerry got, so to speak, his backup.
Mm.
And to finish the quote from Jerry, he said, the team takes precedent, and I've got the backbone to keep it that way.
Mm.
That's strong from him.
Yeah.
He is digging in against the big three.
Yeah, the big three. Yeah, that's a good thing.
It's got to be team first.
Yeah, it is team.
Right?
Team Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Who's on his team? His family. Team Amari Cooper. Who's on his team? His family. And Team Zeke Elliott. Who's on his team?
I'm here to tell you, Jerry is simply negotiating. This is extreme psychological warfare from a Jerry Jones who is a master of negotiations. Not a master of building a football team. I got issues. We know all the issues. But when it comes to cap management and winning the art of the deal, as somebody once said, this guy knows how. This guy is the master.
Jerry would belly up if he didn't live by those.
Okay, so the point is that I'm going to ask you the key question here. What does Jerry Jones want most in the world right now?
A Super Bowl.
Especially this year. Maybe this year, maybe next year. This window right here, right?
Yeah.
So are you telling me that he would sacrifice a shot at this year's Super Bowl by not getting one of these deals done?
Whatever he
says,
are
you telling me that the truth is that when push comes to shove, that he will keep his back up, he's got the backbone to keep Zeke at home in Cabo, wherever he's going to be, for the whole football season? Because the truth is, that will not happen. This is all just part of the deal that is getting done right now.
Well, Skip, look. Skip, I don't want to be in Cabo. I really don't. I mean, it's really boring. There's nothing going on. I mean, there's only so much vacation time. I mean, that's why I don't go on vacation. Skip.
How long can you work out during a day?
Yeah.
You know, seriously. And I believe he does work out, and I believe he does look great. I believe all that.
He looks
But you can't stay in the gym. Like, I live in the gym, but I can't stay in the gym for 8 hours a day.
Exactly.
You go to the gym a lot, but you can't stay for eight hours.
I sure can.
What else is there to do in Cabo? I don't know.
There's nothing in going on vacation. I believe going on vacation is so overrated. People say, well, Shannon, why don't you go on vacation? Because I don't feel there's a place I need to go. I need to get away from something.
Uh-huh.
I'm perfectly content.
Well, that's deep.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit. That's how I look at it, Skip Baylor.
Okay.
But I'm going somewhere next year. Yes.
You're already planning?
I'm already planning it.
Well, you got a long wait.
Huh? Where are you going?
Ain't no telling. I'm going somewhere. And nobody gonna fire me. Maybe the Maldives.
You going with somebody?
I'm going. There you go. Try snitching again.
No one's gonna fire me.
Yeah, nobody gonna fire me. I mean, you know.
Really?
Might go to the Maldives or someplace.
Maldives?
Yeah, the Maldives. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I wanna go, you know.
One of those houses.
Yeah, yeah, right. You saw that, you know.
I would like to go as well.
Really?
It's beautiful. It's this secluded house above the water.
Really? I just want to go to Miami in February.
No.
How about that?
I'm a man going to Miami in February.
You want to go, Jim? You can come too.
No.
I'll take both of you.
As long as you know who doesn't get to go. That's all.
Yeah, you'll be right in the thick of it.
Man, Skip.
All this will be distant memory.
Look, if the Cowboys made the Super Bowl, can I do mine via remote?
Nope.
Skip, I can't do it from the,
what are they called?
The Maldives.
Maldives.
Feel free. Okay. We'll see if we can set that up for
you. Skip, you're going to be a, see, the thing is with you, you will be unbearable. You are a very sore winner. The Cowboys have just like won nothing in a quarter century, and you pound the table when they win a game. They get to the Super Bowl, you're going to be, I just can't.
I got a feeling.
No. Some people.
This is perfectly lined up.
You know, you're one of those people. You're one of these people, Skip, that you're like, when good things happen, you just hate to see them come around. Because all they do is I can't with you. I just can't. No mercy.
Rothy's are the everyday flats for life on the go. They're stylish, comfortable, and go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. They've quickly become a most loved, gotta have them brand thanks to their wide range of colors and patterns. With new ones launching constantly, and their zero break-in period. Since Rothy's are crafted using 3D knitting techniques and hand assembly, their seamless design means right out of the box comfort. Best of all, they're made from recycled plastic water bottles. That's right, over 25 million water bottles have been diverted from landfills to make these gorgeous and sustainable shoes. Another major bonus, they're fully machine washable, so your pair will be fresh and ready every laundry day. Plus, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. There's no risk and no reason not to try. You'll quickly discover why BuzzFeed called them their forever shoes. Check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/cadence. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com. That's rothys.com/cadence today.
No mercy. We got to talk more about Zeke. According to his agent, Ezekiel Elliott felt that he was disrespected by Jerry Jones. Zeke didn't take kindly to Jerry jokingly saying, "Zeke who?" when asked about the running back following the Cowboys' second preseason game. Yesterday, Jerry didn't back down when responding to Zeke's reaction. Take a listen.
I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So, have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. Okay. Well, let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
So, Shannon, do you agree that Jerry has earned the right to joke with Zeke?
No. How has he earned that right, Skip? And stick with me for just a second, Skip. This rubbed me the wrong way, and maybe it has something to do with my upbringing and where I came from, the part of the country that I came from. Now, I was born in 1968, so the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s. I know what it was like to be in rural South Georgia. This scene, what he's saying, I pay Zeke. I stood beside Zeke. This seemed very sharecropper-ish to me.
Okay.
Because I've been in situations and seen with my very eyes that someone that has helped you get a house or get a car because you couldn't go to work that day, well, I'm gonna need you to throw me the keys to the truck just to make sure you can't go anywhere. Come on. For real? Jerry, he provides a service. It sounded like Donald Sterling. Skip, remember Donald Sterling said, I give them clothes, I give them houses, I give them cars. But he didn't realize they provide a service. Jerry Jones, if Zeke was not on your football team, would you have been so devout
yep.
in your support of Zeke? Hell no. He's making it seem like he's going out of his way. No. And even if you, and yeah, you've done that. Yes, you pay Zeke a salary. Yes, you stood beside Zeke, but you don't own Zeke. Mm. And the man said he didn't feel that it was appropriate. See, you got, and like I said, Skip, when you joke, I joke a lot so I can take a joke. I understand how that goes. But if Zeke were to come back, like, well, man, Jerry's had more work than my automobile. You think that's funny, Jerry? Of course not. And the thing where you skip, look at what he said. I've earned it. He's done two things for Zeke. Paid him a salary that Zeke has earned,
yep.
and he stood beside Zeke. That gives me the right to be able to say what I want to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me. Zeke said he was offended by that comment. Instead of Jerry doubling down and trying to say, I've earned that right. Mm-hmm. Apologize, call Zeke. You don't have to do it publicly. Call Zeke, say, Zeke, that's not what I meant. Do I believe Jerry was joking, Skip? I said I believed he was joking.
Yeah.
But I also said I understand how the player's going to take it. They don't take that because they take what they do very seriously. And you marginalize them and said, oh, I'm like that? Nah. So maybe it's just me. Maybe some people didn't see it like I saw it. But that's the way I saw it, and that's the way I took it, and I would have had a problem with it.
Okay. You have earned the right to have that suspicion you just voiced. So I get it from your side. I don't see it, but I get it. Mm-hmm. And you're right to have that little alarm bell go off in the back of your psyche mm-hmm. saying, let's think about this for a second. In my time covering Jerry's Cowboys, and I haven't been around them for quite a while, but in my years covering them, I did not ever hear any of the black players voice any suspicion of any sort of racist tendency on the part of Jerry Jones. So, again, there's been nothing blatant or obvious
right.
to this. Mm-hmm. I have been around Jerry a lot because I wrote three books that heavily involved Jerry. So I spent hundreds of hours around him, and I have seen Jerry angry. Mm-hmm. That was pure fire anger from Jerry Jones. He was running hot yesterday. And I'm pretty sure it's because Rocky Arsenault said, we found that comment disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I think that's what pushed Jerry's deepest hot button. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to interpret it completely differently from you because I believe Jerry was saying, after all I've done for that kid, all the hours I've been with that kid and invested in that kid, in part because he's a very valuable football player, but also in part because I think Jerry really likes the young man.
Right.
But he's saying, after all I did, all the battles I helped him fight, mm-hmm. all the times I tried to get him out of trouble, this is how you repay me. So he's saying, I earned the right just because I'm so close with him, because we've been through so much together, to kid with him. Mm-hmm. That's all he's saying is, I earned the right off the field,
right.
not through what I paid him, for what I did for him, to be able to joke publicly, you know, via the media
right.
with him.
Right.
Now, I thought it was half joking because I think he was swept up in right. what he'd just seen from
right.
Tony Pollard.
Right.
But that's a whole nother issue.
Correct.
But remember, there have been so many incidents, some reported and some not reported, that Jerry helped get him out of to the point of helping cover up.
Yeah.
Hundreds of hours invested in that. And
it
what
is.
Do you always say? He's got to sleep with the cell phone under his pillow with the ringer on
yes.
because he wants to hear it ringing through his pillow. Oh, I got to get up
yes.
at 3 a.m. again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jerry might have just gotten to bed.
Right.
But he's got to get up again and go try to put out another fire for Ezekiel Elliott.
And a lot of that off-duty stuff that Jerry be paying, that doesn't go on the payroll.
No, it does
the
not.
Cap, that's not a cap
dollars. That's a good point. Obviously, he fought and fought mm-hmm. and fought to keep him eligible to avoid the suspension that finally got dropped on Zeke for 6 games back in 2017.
Correct.
And you remember what was reported that at the end of a league meeting, mm-hmm. that Jerry went up to Lisa Friel,
yep.
who's the director of investigations, mm-hmm. remember, longtime DA mm-hmm. In Manhattan handling the sex crimes unit. So,
right.
so she was a very powerful figure. And remember, Jerry went up and got into a reported screaming match with her over Zeke, saying there's nothing there, there's nothing there. So Jerry feels like he put his owner's reputation on the line with a prominent member of the National Football League front office by saying, no, you've missed the boat here. There's nothing
there. He also pulled her aside and said, you're going to kill this golden goose.
Okay, that's a whole nother thing. Yep. Okay. And again, this is the golden goose yeah, for everybody, exactly. Right? So the point is, that's what he's saying to me is, I fought so hard for you and we got so close. In that other documentary we saw, that, what is it, All or Nothing one, right, that's on Amazon, I believe, you saw Zeke come back and have a tearful reunion with Jerry after, right, the six-game suspension. Right. They hugged and kissed, right, sort of, you know, so to speak, figuratively.
Sure.
And so he feels like they have a closeness that means, like you said, you kid with people you're close to,
right,
and you they can kid back. Right. You let me kid back with,
right,
you,
right,
and it's just the way it is.
Right.
So he took it personally that they took it personally.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Right.
Okay? So now I'm back to my biggest takeaway from this. I still believe that Jerry is at his negotiating weakest if you play buddy with him. Don't challenge him. Don't let him get his backbone up. Mm-hmm. That Zeke's strategy was completely upside down. Rocky Arsenault, wrong game plan. Zeke should have been in camp day one and buddied up to Jerry, and I believe he would have gotten his money and gotten more money sooner than later playing that way. Jerry, if you go to play to Jerry's good cop side, it will happen faster.
Right.
If you want to play hardball, he will play hardball back, and that's what's going on here. Mm. He's saying, if you want to make it hard, let's just make it hard then.
Right.
And he's got a temper to a fault. Mm-hmm. And it's not a pretty sight, but I have seen it in action. And I think he was not really thinking all that rationally when he made that comment, because it was spoken out of pure anger.
Right. And I think the thing is, Skip, when you do something for someone, you don't do it with this, like, okay, now he's indebted to me, he owes me. I thought you did it out of the kindness of your heart. Now, if you come back and say that like I said, he's earned the right. It seems to be that, but that's just because, Skip, like you said, you heard the way he said, I've earned it.
And he was pointed, and
yes,
then he repeated it.
Yes, yes.
Times.
And yeah, just in case someone didn't hear it, he looked, turned to, yeah, his left, turned to his right.
I have earned the right.
Right. Yeah. So it just comes off, like I said, it's 2019 now, and Zeke probably Zeke just took it as you being very dismissive after all that I've done. And I'm not going to let you just try and pit me against Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. Look, I understand we're going to be teammates. And actually, he can help my career because he can take some of the, sure, cares away, and I can have maybe get an extra year. But, Skip, this here, man, this, like I said, it just rubbed me the wrong way because, okay, I didn't feel Jerry.
You know what? You could be right about, yeah, that. That could be coming from that mindset.
Yeah.
I defer to you on that.
Yeah, I just wish Jerry would just, instead of doubling down, Skip, we know, Jerry, when you were $7 billion, we know who you are. We know what you represent. You don't have to double down. No one's going to think any less of you if you said, I'm sorry that Zeke took it that way. That's not what I meant by it. I was just joking, guys. You know I am. I'm joking. But he...
No.
And now Zeke could come back. Yeah. I feel disrespected by that comment.
Right.
So then we're just
and
going
well,
back and
right,
forth.
He well might
be,
he might not say it, but he well might,
yeah,
feel
it.
He might feel just the way you,
yeah,
feel.
Just,
but you're saying this goes back to the very beginning. This is because of the way he's handled it. That's,
yeah,
interesting
to
think
me.
About. So are we going to do
because
this until the end?
Jerry's still a little offended that he gave so much to this kid. Yeah. And again, it's because he's a really valuable football player.
Right.
But I think Jerry really has a soft spot for Zeke.
Yes. Mm.
And now it's getting to be a hard spot, you know, because they're in a battle that seems to be escalating.
Because at the end of the day, Skip, Jerry's looking at it, you messing with my trophy, Zeke.
Yeah.
You know, we use the term, you messing with my money.
Yeah.
Jerry ain't worried about the money.
Uh-uh.
Jerry said, you messing
I
with
agree.
My trophy.
Yeah.
I want that trophy. Jerry's 78 years of age, Skip. He wants that trophy more than he wants anything else in life.
Yeah.
He gets another one of them, he's like, hey, Lord, I had a great life. You wanted to call me home, I'm ready to go. But I just need that Lombardi.
Well, I'm just hoping this adversity will bring them even closer once they clear the air.
I don't hope that.
I know
you don't.
I want that to get like 90 mil.
Mm.
That's what, okay, I want. Sign him.
Well, there's plenty of pie left.
Ain't no pie. Yeah. Did Dak tell you he don't like pie? He don't like key lime. He don't like apple. He don't like rhubarb. Mm. He want a 15-layer chocolate cake.
And you know what? He has earned it.
That's yeah. Impossible.
He has earned it.
Yeah, 15 layups.
Yeah, because he's a top 10 quarterback.
There you go. Don't stop. No mercy.
I'm Jenny Taft. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. But before the show moves along, here's a quick word from our friends over at the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. The NFL season is back, and that means one thing. It's fantasy football time. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast is the most downloaded fantasy football podcast for a reason. It has the most accurate rankings as measured by fantasy pros, so you have a leg up on your competition. Want to dominate the waiver wire in your league? Be the first to find those hidden sleepers or grab those breakout stars before everyone else? Then you should listen to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast to get the most up-to-date intel to win your matchup each week. Subscribe right now to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also visit them on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com. Subscribe now and dominate your fantasy football league. No mercy.
So Antonio Brown showed up to Raiders practice yesterday for the second straight day. AB reportedly was wearing a new league-approved helmet during the closed portion of practice, but did not have one during the media portion of practice. His second grievance hearing against the NFL is scheduled for Friday. Hard Knocks cameras caught John Gruden having a heart-to-heart with Brown after the team's walkthroughs this past Saturday. Take a listen.
I know you got a lot of people in your ear because you're like a corporation that's kind of gone global. Yeah. But at the end of the day, let's keep this simple.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Football comes first.
Absolutely.
Everything else is way behind it.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Let's because you handle all that seamlessly, beautifully.
Huh? Seamlessly. I like that word.
We are now joined by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this relationship, James, between Gruden and AB, is it going to work out?
I feel like it's going to work out.
Do you?
Yeah. At least from what I've seen, you know. yeah. Of course, it's the honeymoon phase. We haven't gotten to real games, but, you know, Gruden has a general, you know, respect and understanding, I guess, for what AB was doing with the helmet and, you know, his feet situation. Mm-hmm. So... you know, and AB obviously has respect for him for being there, backing him. And right now, you know, everything is pointing up. It could get to a point in the season where if the Raiders aren't doing well, he's not getting the number of catches that he may want to get. It may turn into a disagreement or situation. But I feel right now everything is roses. It looks on the up and up.
No, I don't think everything's roses because John Gruden is looking at the feet situation. Okay, maybe that was something that happened. But the helmet situation, you knew about that. And come to find out it's about aesthetics. Didn't have anything to do with the safety or anything like that. He just doesn't like the helmet because he don't want to look like Marvin the Martian. So now that's an issue. And John Gruden's like, bruh, you got $30 million over the next 2 years. And you complain about a helmet? Get a motorcycle helmet and put a face mask on it. I don't care what you get. I need you out here on the field. You see, these are two very combustible personalities. You said they winning, they're losing. What happens if they're winning and AB ain't getting his catches? See, I believe AB will be perfectly content if he's losing and getting 10, 12 catches a game. See, that's what rubbed him the wrong way, is that Juju, even when they were winning, Juju was getting 100. Being with feeding Juju. And the more he fed Juju, the madder he got. He like, if I'm the guy. And then when Juju got that award, you know, that's what he said on IG. He can't believe he ain't win that award. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't believe they're going to make it. I believe this is the honeymoon period. I agree with you there. If you're having problems on the honeymoon, you know what?
It's not a problem with him. It's a problem with the NFL. Him and Gruden are getting along. Gruden, like, he sat there. He talked to him. He's very clear and decisive.
You believe Gruden is like that?
Do I believe he will be open and communicate with him?
I say you believe Gruden, that Gruden sincerely is like, hey, B, we support you, we understand, but this helmet thing, you believe Gruden is that understanding? What coach you know has been that understanding?
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's been situations where you wouldn't believe some things that the coaches do behind closed doors that are supportive of the players, even though they may say something totally different in the media because that's what they may have to do. Hmm. I see right now is that Gruden is communicating clearly with AB on what he feels he needs to do and how it needs to be done. the communication with AB and the understanding and make sure there's no misunderstandings of what it is I expect from you and what it is I expect you to do is what's going to make this relationship work.
Hmm. Remember, you just saw John Gruden pull him aside, and as nicely as John can say anything to any player, you got too many voices in your ear. The message is from John to AB, you need to listen to my voice. You need to put football first and simplify your life because you become a global corporation. Mm-hmm. And the message to me is quit listening to your agent, your family, your friends, whoever it is, even your teammates. Just listen to me because I'm the only one who matters to you now. And to your point, I am paying you $30 guaranteed million. And we have a chance to be pretty good this year if you're with us. Mm-hmm. And so that's as nice as I've ever heard John Gruden talk to a player.
Yes.
And he's on his best behavior during the honeymoon phase. But this Gruden that I'm seeing on Hard Knocks, because I covered John Gruden's last year in Oakland in 2001 the first time around.
Okay.
I don't even recognize this guy. Maybe I'm forgetting, but I don't think so, because he has gone completely over the edge into Hard Knocks egomania, where he is playing to the camera more than any player or coach has ever played
to. He's a lot rougher and tougher than he's showing right now on camera.
Well, I mean, he's showing a lot of rough and tough. He is so, I told them, my wife turned to me when Hard Knocks was over last night and said, is he always that snotty? Well, I didn't remember him that snotty, but I'm talking about sarcastic, dismissive, hypercritical on the field to the point where I know if that man were playing for him, it just wouldn't last very long.
No.
A couple of those sarcastic sharp. What the hell are you thinking? You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you got to understand, he's been looking at AB for a while. He's been very enamored with AB's skill set for a long time, and now he has it.
No, he has, and he was raving last night about 84 will lead this league in energy. That's what he loves the most about the energy he brings to the practice field. You've seen it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, so, you know what? I like, you know what, I'll be on the internet and I'll be watching people like, oh, they have pet snakes. And they're like, oh, he's so cuddly. I don't want one. Mm, it's easy to admire someone when you don't have to coach that behavior. Mm. You know it's coming. You know what's coming, Jay. You done been around it too long, Jay. You know what's coming. Mm.
Hey, anything is possible. Yeah. Right now, I'm going off the aesthetics of this situation.
I'm just going off old history.
Okay, so you played for a Mike Tomlin from a distance. I like Mike Tomlin, but I didn't have to play for him. And you had some incidents there at the end that were not pretty, right? That's fair to say.
Yeah.
But he comes across as a player's coach, as a supportive coach. Is that fair to say? In general, just in your early years with him, he's pretty good to play for, right?
Yeah. In general,
okay.
Yeah.
Was he that sarcastic or dismissive or hypercritical on the field during practice? Would he get that abusive, like verbally abusive, like John gets?
No.
I don't think so, because I don't think Mike Tomlin has near the ego John does. His ego is even bigger than AB's ego to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe it got fed by being the star of Monday Night Football for however many years that was.
And he got even more, well, Skip, it's telling you,
and
so
the
transition,
Bowl.
We started seeing he started getting more animated. And then once he got on television, where the cameras was always on him, I mean, he even became even more animated. But James, you can speak to this. There comes a time in a player's career where he's not that same player.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's a good guy, he's good in the locker room, the team will let you do something what they call steal. You steal a year.
Right.
You get an extra year or two. That guy ain't stealing nothing.
Mm.
When his play diminishes, whoop, gone.
Yeah, I would like the easier you are to deal with, the more you are, you know, compatible with your teammates, the team, the coaches, the more, you know, time that you're going to get, especially if your play is declining. You're a guy that's, you know, loud spoken, you know, Shannon Sharp type of guy, you know what I'm saying? You know, you may not be that.
I was loud spoken, but I was either working with the locker room. Skip, we know, look, I'll give you an example. T.O. last year, he tore his ACL in Cincinnati, but he led the team in touchdown catches, yards, and reception. Mm-hmm. We know T.O. should have been given an opportunity to play a few more years, but they say, nah.
Mm-mm. Well, he did go to Seattle.
He tried it. He was Seattle, yeah.
He went through two preseason games, had a drop in the second game,
against the Broncos.
And then I was shocked. But Pete Carroll just said, gone.
And I don't think he got another try.
No, he did not. Okay, but he had a track record of having some issues at different teams, and so does that guy. Okay?
Track record at one team right now.
Yeah, just one team, but it's a cornerstone.
Yes, definitely.
It's
definitely
conservative.
But I said, the communication thing is key. And if John is telling him exactly what it is that he wants him to do and telling him what it is that he's going to mm-hmm. do for him and does it,
he missed a meeting, he missed practice.
John's going to have to do what it is that he needs to do.
Why he got to do that? Why AB can't be where he's supposed to be? You say he's starting over, we're going to be fresh. Mm.
Listen, if you're late, it's repercussions and consequences to that. If you allow that to keep, you know, happening and do nothing, then you build a habit. And now this player believes that they can do that. Mm-hmm. And if they continue to do that, it's going to get to the point to where now they don't have any respect for you because you're not doing anything.
I believe that's what it is with the helmet. He believes he can come up with any excuse he can to get out of practice and do what he wants to do.
I agree with that. Yep.
That's why you nip it in the bud. That's why.
I think he understood the helmet thing. Like, even for the preseason game, he was wearing a certified helmet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he got it into his head at that point that, you know what, I'm probably not going to win this. Let me start getting used to it.
But think about why he wanted to do it, James. I can see if it's like, well, I feel safe. Say, I look good.
If you look good, you play good, right?
Yeah.
If you look good, you feel good, play good.
Man, I get a road bike helmet for $30 million and put a face mask on it and go out there and put that work in.
Helmets look that good.
Come on, look.
Finding a reason to have a problem with something.
So my bottom line on John Gruden is Antonio Brown is exactly the player he needs right now, exactly, on the football field. Mm-hmm. He is also exactly the player John does not want to coach off the field and in the locker room and all this extracurricular. Mm-hmm. It's exactly everything about Antonio off the field he despises. Hmm. That's why Collision Course, Epic Clash.
I hope it goes well, Skip. Yeah, because so if he had a problem with the way Ben talked to him, he ain't seen nothing yet. Or if he had a problem with the Ben talk.
It's sarcastic. It's little aside.
Ask Keyshawn how he talked to you. None of that, Alan. Mm-hmm.
He talked to you that bad?
Ask Keyshawn.
I didn't see that.
Keyshawn was quoted as saying after he got sent home, I didn't want to be talked to that way anymore.
Oh.
Okay.
Nothing.
Says something. We're going to watch this unfold.
The difference between coaching someone hard and just being disrespectful.
No, it is.
There you go.
And that talking to me bad. Like, I can take hard coaching. I can take you.
Thank you.
Cussing me, but don't cuss at me. Cuss me out for it.
The tone has no respect in it. It's just dismissive. Like, who the hell are you?
It's good coaching, but you can't talk to me. I ain't one of them guys.
That's how I got cut. I'm not going to let you talk to me any kind
of way.
Okay, we have
two non-Gruden candidates.
I don't know if either of you guys.
You ain't finna talk to me. You ain't finna talk to me.
If my mama ain't talk to me that way, you damn sure not about to talk to me that way.
I say Mary Porter ain't never SOB me and mofo me. Yep. You think I'm gonna let you talk to me crazy?
No way.
Yep. Okay, I get up out of here, but I'm gonna whip you before I leave.
It's fascinating, the difference in coaching style, though. What works and what doesn't, and just the different dynamic between players individually. I feel like that's a whole different discussion we can have another day. James, always good to have you. No mercy. Once again, Baker.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Mayfield wasn't holding back in an interview with GQ. Baker said he couldn't believe that the Giants took quarterback Daniel Jones with the sixth overall pick and that it, quote, blows my mind when I asked about Baker's comments. Jones said, I'm not sure I would do it that way, but everyone's got a different way of doing things. We are now joined by Michael Rappaport. Michael, it is good to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so your reaction to this, to what Baker said about Jones.
Everybody has their way of doing things. Yeah, let me tell you something, Baker. Backtracking Baker, because then he backtracked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody wants a nickname, so we got a backtracking Baker. Don't speak about my quarterback. Don't speak about my backup quarterback, okay? You haven't won anything significant in the NFL. Mm. You won six games last year versus teams. The great Colin Cowherd, he broke it down in detail. I saw it. It was gorgeous. He's done nothing, okay? These guys think that they think that being relevant on social media, they think that being talked about all the time equals football wins. You're talking about a rookie quarterback that hasn't taken a snap. Do you have no bro code? Do you have no QB code? Where's your class? Listen, all that'll fly in Cleveland. Okay, and I know you taught yourself how to milli rock. I was the white guy that could dance. That don't equal football wins.
No.
Okay, you're crotch grabbing, you're doing all this. I like my quarterbacks to be workmanlike. You look at the last 10 quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Russell, Peyton, Nick Foles, Flacco, Eli. Boring. I don't know what this guy thinks is going to happen. If I was Baker Mayfield, I would worry about Odell being Odell, because that's going to backfire on him. You want to love Odell and let Odell be Odell? Talk to me in week four. And also, I would worry about trying to get a good meal in Cleveland without catching salmonella poison like I caught when we were out there for the finals. Okay?
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. That happened to me out in Cleveland. Okay,
when we were out there. What happened? Was it, like sushi? Or?
It was my – I shouldn't have had sushi in Cleveland. Okay? I caught a little salmonella poisoning. So this guy, I don't know what he thinks he's done, and I don't know what they think they could do. I could tell you one thing right now. The Cleveland Browns, they're not winning the Super Bowl. I think they think because they have all this talent and they have all the cool kids and they all have fancy haircuts and they all get Supreme exclusive backpacks and a Supreme exclusive sweatshirt, that means they're going to win. That doesn't mean you're going to win football games.
Yeah.
So you got to keep our quarterback out of your mouth. I don't know why these guys in Cleveland are so obsessed with the New York Giants. We're talking about a storied franchise. We have rings and things. You have zero rings and things. And I'll tell you something, LeBron James ain't coming in the door to play tight end for them, okay? So just because LeBron James took the monkey off the Cavaliers back, you're still the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. You left in the darkness of night to go to, where do they go, to Baltimore?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Okay, we don't forget these things. So don't disrespect Arsenio Hall, Don King, and the great Bobby Womack. These are Cleveland staples. Mm. You're not a Cleveland staple. I don't like it.
One other question is, what he said, was it not true? Did it not ring of truth about Daniel Jones?
I was on this show, okay, when Daniel Jones, the only person from Duke that we weren't thinking about as New Yorkers, got picked. I was on this show. I was questioning it. Okay, but we'll deal with our things in-house. And I just don't understand. In all seriousness, I don't understand how a quarterback who's a walk-on, who considers himself an underdog and carries himself as an underdog, would disrespect another quarterback. Yep. And you know all these guys, they all go to these quarterback camps in high school. It has to be something personal about that. Worry about yourself. You've done nothing. Why? Like seriously, like bro code, quarterback code. Why are you talking about another quarterback? Like, you don't hear that from the greats like Aaron Rodgers. You don't hear that from the greats like Tom Brady. They're not talking. They would never do that. And I'm just, it's just, to me, it's just, why would you do that? Don't worry about him. Worry about yourself. Worry about your mustache. Worry about learning some new dances. Worry about being the class clown. Mm-hmm. He likes to be the class clown. He likes that attention. Class clowns don't win Super Bowls. Mm. I like rings and things.
Mm. Go ahead, Skip.
No, you can go.
No, I'll let you go. Let you go.
Because we're all in agreement here. Ginny, too. Jump on him.
Hey, I'm 50-50. You go, Skip.
Jenny and I are big Baker Mayfield fans, but I think I can speak for Jenny when I say we had some problems with especially the backtrack, because what he said to me rang true. What he said, I believe, came out of his mouth. But yes, what he said, I assume he thought was off the record or that the interview hadn't quite started yet, because it was written in the story that he just glanced up at a TV monitor and on SportsCenter saw, oh, they're doing a Daniel Jones thing. And he just blurts out the immortal, I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones, blows my mind. Do I believe he said that? I went to 99.9%. I believe he said that.
It wasn't just made up.
No, no, because it's hard to make up that kind of quote. And why would you fabricate that? And I know the writer just because I knew him when he was in college. Named Clay Skipper, went to my school, Vanderbilt. And he is a sharp young man. And I just don't believe he's going to make that quote up. I do believe that Baker got caught. And then he took a lot of flack from, maybe it went all the way to his owner. Maybe his owner made a little phone call and said, we just can't. You're our franchise quarterback. That's
a bad
look.
Or at least John Dorsey, because John Dorsey's a football guy.
He's a football guy. Yeah. That is true. But as Shannon said, at some point you have to learn there are certain things you just cannot say. And it came across as so harshly disrespectful to a kid who doesn't deserve that. He's taken enough abuse from the New York media.
Right. We pounded on him ourselves.
You can criticize your own, but don't let Baker criticize.
Another quarterback.
Yeah, another quarterback from a distance that came completely out of the blue, and yet then he's talking about how you draft quarterbacks, and I agree with his premise. Either you have a history of winning and being that guy for your team, or you don't. Daniel Jones did not have that history of being that guy.
Right.
I watched two Duke games last year, and I don't even remember Daniel Jones playing, and if you'd asked me after the game, will he get drafted? I don't know, maybe in the seventh round, but not with the sixth overall pick. I fell off my chair when that happened, and I think you did too.
Came here and fell off my chair.
Yeah. Okay.
Hurt my back.
My thing is, by Baker saying that, what does he get out of this kid? What does he get?
I don't think he was trying to get anything. I think he just blurted. He was just being a guy talking to a guy.
But did he actually think people, and there are some that are like, oh, that's Baker being Baker, and he's right, blah, blah, but as a quarterback of a franchise, to talk so harshly about a current quarterback, whether he's starting or it doesn't matter. Like I said, there's some conversation that Mike and I, we have off camera that we're never going to have on camera. And that's okay. You live with that. But for the quarterback, Skip, now you know quarterbacks, these guys very seldom say anything anyway. Mm-hmm. They're normally just boring, just plain black.
What I love about Baker
Mayfield.
Yes.
But for him, I can't believe, why you care? You quarterback the Cleveland Browns, why do you care? That should be like, man, I'm glad they took him, so at least when we play the Giants, we got some wins. That should be your mindset. Okay. You don't have to say that. I just, at some point in time, this Baker being Baker, when does he grow up? When does he be a professional? You want your face of your franchise. What face of a company you want behaving like this? I just want to know the face of your company you want to behave like that, Skip.
Okay, but there's a part of Baker I don't want to grow up. The part who's pointing at Hugh Jackson on the sideline, like, that's for you. You know, after he left, obviously, he got fired in Cleveland, went to Cincinnati, right?
Man.
Okay? Hey, let me tell you, I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, and I was harsh on Hugh Jackson. Yo, you just don't – you have no history with this team. Like, you're pointing at another coach. It's a long and winding road, this NFL journey, and it's short at this journey. So he's pointing at another coach. He didn't do anything to him. This guy, listen, everybody has their bumps and bruises. Cam Newton took them all the way to the Super Bowl. They haven't been back. Everybody, and it's a short window. I don't know what these guys think in their head. They need to start speaking to the OGs. They need to start speaking to the veterans, the James Harrisons, and pulling their coat and talking to them to get some clarity. Because
But they don't want they want guys that tell them what they want to hear. And a lot of times,
exclusives. That's not
tell them what they want to hear. But this is he didn't need to do this. I don't see the benefit of it. And like you said, Skip, maybe he got caught up in the moment. He looked up there, and maybe he didn't think the guy. But if you're giving an interview, you gotta assume that everything that you say, and especially a current quarterback, say something so harshly.
If Baker has a beef with somebody, I'm good with it. He had a beef with Hugh because I told you Hugh should have started him from game one. So that started the beef. He had a beef with the Kansas Jayhawks that day. Were you at that game?
I wasn't.
No, you weren't at that. You weren't at the game.
Not at that one.
But remember, they wouldn't shake his. He extended his hand after the coin toss, and they wouldn't shake his hand. So he ends up grabbing his crotch after they're just wiping him out. Right. Like, take that.
Right.
Okay. I get where that's coming from. He had a beef with Cliff Kingsbury because Cliff turned on him, and so. I don't even know if they play Arizona, but just watch what happens because he's going to have it in for Cliff
Kingsbury. Well, now the New York Giants fans have a beef with him.
They
don't back up. Don't backpedal.
But there was no beef that I know of with Daniel Jones.
No. Well, he started
it that way.
I heard, I'm not going to confirm or deny, I heard that maybe at a quarterback camp, handsome Daniel Jones might have swooped in and taken one of his girlfriends. I don't know if that's true in high school. I'm not confirming or denying that.
Wow.
I heard that it could have been something back then, but this is all petty. I'm just saying, all the beer chugging and all the Millie rocking, that's cute in Cleveland, okay? Anything is cute.
I will give you that he has got a lot more to prove.
The standards are low in Cleveland. No. Okay, the fact that they were
right
six
now
and seven,
they're real high.
They were one.
No, the expectations.
That's
are high.
What I'm saying.
The standard they high.
No, 1-32 when they were 0-16, they had a parade, they had a celebration out there. Listen, this is Cleveland. Don't talk about the New York Giants and the New York Giants. Quarterbacks, okay? Worry about getting a good meal out there.
Jeez. I don't know if anyone in Cleveland watch is going to appreciate that.
No mercy.
Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers is not completely sold on Tom Brady being the GOAT. During an interview, Rivers said he doesn't look at Super Bowl wins when determining a player's greatness. He used Super Bowl 49 as an example. If the Seahawks would have run the ball on the goal line instead of throwing an interception in the end zone, Rivers argues Brady would have had the exact same stat line. But they threw the ball, got picked off, and Brady got another ring. We all remember that one. Shannon, does Rivers have a point?
To a certain extent, Skip, I do think Super Bowl wins carry too much weight because Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer. Do we think they're better quarterbacks than Dan Marino, honestly? I don't think we do.
They have one.
But I'm saying.
Okay.
But I also go, I look into regular season. Did you win in the regular season? Did you lead the league in touchdown passes? Did you lead the league in completion percentage? I think when you get to Tom Brady, Skip, I think his resume is so impressive, even if you say he only has three Super Bowl wins. Mm-hmm. But you look at he's won almost 78% of his regular season games. He's a three-time league MVP. He's led the league in touchdown passes, I think, three or four times, in passing yards three or four times. His resume is so complete, it's hard to find a way to knock him. So although I do not believe that the Super Bowl should be the it's end all be all, that's it. But I think as a body of work, because wouldn't we look at, because look, check this out. Jim Kelly got Scott Norwood in field goal distance, he missed it. Tom Brady got Adam Vinatieri in field goal distance twice, he made it. Tom did his part, Jim did his part. One guy, kicker, did his part, the other guy didn't. As we've said before, you've covered this game too long, and I played it a long time. It's the ultimate team game because sometimes it's just quarterback can play great and you need your defense to make a play or you need your field goal kicker to finish it off and it doesn't get done. He has a point to a certain extent, but with Tom Brady's resume, with 14 Pro Bowlers, with 14 Pro Bowl seasons, with three MVPs, Skip, we did pick it, Tom.
Thank you. Which is why I can't believe you're giving Philip Rivers even an ounce of credibility with anything that he said, that he has some point. Has no point.
Well, maybe can you upset because Brady beat the brakes off him all the time.
Like three times in the playoffs, and Brady's 5-0 all time against him. Three times he ended his season.
Yeah.
Once in San Diego, you recall.
Yeah. They got upset, That's when they were 14-2.
They were.
And Marty ended up getting fired after the season.
Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady did him in again in the AFC Championship game in Foxborough.
He was hurt.
And then last year, he just, I'm going to use your phrase, he beat the brakes off the Chargers in Foxborough.
He did.
So all Tom Brady has done is win six rings with six game-winning fourth-quarter drives. That's pretty hard to do, and that's pretty great. And by the way, he had another late drive that should have won the first Eli Super Bowl, and he made one little bit off-target throw that could have won a second Super Bowl against Eli. So we could go on and on, and he threw for a record 505 yards, playoff record in the loss to Nick Foles, who hung 40 on Belichick's defense without Malcolm Butler. You can't argue with this. And Philip Rivers had the audacity to say, it's like the old Michael Jordan debate, like it has no end to it. No, there's only one man on earth who thinks Michael Jordan isn't the GOAT, and I'm sitting across from
him.
No, there's only one. It's you. Everybody knows that GOAT Michael is the GOAT. And it's over. And it's over with Tom Brady. Because even look at the Seattle Super Bowl. Did he not deserve to win it? Again, Tom can't play defense.
Right.
And again, Malcolm Butler made arguably the greatest play in the history of
the game. I think that's one of the points that Philip is trying to make, that so many other things, although the quarterback gets the credit a lot of the time, so many other things go into it. Malcolm Butler making that play, Adam Vinatieri making those two
just for the record, in the Seattle Super Bowl, New England trailed 24-14 to start the fourth quarter.
Yes.
What did Tom Brady do? He goes 13-15 for 124 yards just in the fourth quarter, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and brought them back into the lead.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he did have the game-winning drive on which he had 65 yards passing just on the game-winning drive. Okay? Well, that's just greatness,
But, Skip, I'm not – look, like I said, I just think what Philip was trying to get to is that we put all this weight in, like, okay, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowls. But with Tom, because he has – even if you just take the Super Bowls out of it, Skip, his resume with 14 Pro Bowls, with three MVPs, and leading – and his win percentage, that in and of itself should get him in the conversation. Now when you start saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Super Bowls in 9 appearances, it's kind of hard, especially with Philip.
Dan Marino was the greatest thrower of the football I ever saw.
Right.
But he got to one Super Bowl, faced Joe Montana, and got blown out.
Right.
And did not play well.
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers had landed in Green Bay, they might have 10.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.